This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We have reached the final hour. What a program it's been, starting with Jaden Daniels. And now we say hello again to Billy Walters. We talked to Billy when his now New York Times best-selling book launched in August. Of course, he did the book with Armin Katayan. The name of the book, Gambler, Secrets from a Life at Risk. It was a smash hit. It dominated the news and sports blogs for days, if not weeks, especially a lot of things he said about Phil Mickelson. Billy, it's great to see you again. The book tour and all the interviews, you started with 60 Minutes and worked your way across the map. How did it go?
It went great, Paul. Good seeing you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. But the book tour went good. A little long, but I think things went well.
Well, great. And in the book, of course, you really tell your life story from a guy who learned all about life and gambling and became literally considered. I think one person described you as the Michael Jordan of sports wagering, which would make you the best that's ever been. Billy, as you've talked to people and as you've had time to reflect, you've gone through a lot of adversity, losing your daughter while you were in the midst of the criminal proceedings and later sentence. Is it giving you a different perspective, or do you get that while you're going through this process of cutting your veins to describe all the things that you've been through in your life?
Well, Paul, when I was in prison, you're right, my daughter took her life, and that's when I decided to write this book. I contemplated writing the book for a number of years, and anyway, that was the final factor that made me decide to write it. I wrote the book for a number of reasons. I wrote the book because I wanted to help a lot of people in their lives. When I was a young man, just beginning, I made a lot of mistakes in my life. I had issues with alcohol, had issues with addiction. I was addicted to gambling at one time, and fortunately, I was able to overcome those things and turn it around and actually become pretty good at sports betting. But when I went to prison, there was only one positive thing that came out of that, and as I mentored 24 men in there, and that really opened my eyes to a large number of things. And like I said, I wanted to tell my story. I put information in the book in regards to handicapping and proprietary information that I've used for years. I handicap sports and bet sports with it. 10 years ago, Paul, I would have sold that information for $20 million. But I'm 77 years old. It's my legacy. I put everything in there that I know about sports betting. And the other thing that I saw was in the majority of the states in the United States, sports wagering is legal. And you've got millions of new sports bettors. And having been a new sports bettor at one time in my life, I went through a lot of things that they weren't all necessarily good at. And so I wanted to share that experience, but more importantly, I wanted to put a basic betting strategy in there. If someone is going to bet sports and they're going to do it from a recreational standpoint, they're going to take money that they can afford to lose and have some fun betting on sports, great. But I wanted to give them a reasonable chance of winning. Right now, I don't think they have any chance of winning. So I included things in there from a basic betting strategy standpoint, charts and things that I think will help the basic better substantially. But I wrote the book, like I said, for a number of reasons, and I wanted to tell my life story for the reasons that I've just shared with you.
Billy, no matter where I go covering college football, there'll be somebody that will grab me and say, hey, who do you like? And I know what they're asking me. And I've always refused to answer because I couldn't, And frankly, very few of us could break even if our life depended on it, betting on college football. So I ask you this, because there are so many people out there watching and listening right now who we're in the Christmas season, there's bowl game starts Saturday, there will be a nonstop smorgasbord of college football, pro football. I realize there isn't a secret code or a method to the madness or a special sauce, but what can you tell people to maybe have them avoid some of the disasters that you have seen throughout your entire life?
Well, Paul, like I said, and you stated it perfectly, it's next to impossible to win betting sports on a consistent basis. You know, I spend millions of dollars a year in research and development every year and trying to identify and quantify new things that actually make a difference. What I do is I look at every game, I look at every contest. I make a line on the game myself. I have a prediction, I bet my opinion against the oddsmaker's opinion. If the opinions are too close, I don't bet. If there's a differential, I bet. The larger the differential, the larger bet I make. But again, I've been doing this for over 50 years. You know, I've had some of the smartest people in the world to work for me. As an example, I have two guys today. One guy graduated number one in his class at Caltech. Another guy is a retired, college professor of a major university. He was the chairman of the economics department. So, the average bettor that doesn't have those type of resources and that type of experience, they literally don't have a chance. I mean, if you're betting one place and you're taking one line and you're just going in picking games, you got no chance of winning. Bottom line is, if you know that and you address it and say, look, I'm going to do this and it's going to be fun and I can afford to lose X, and you're going to go in, you're going to bet on sports and you approach it that way, I think it's great to bet on sports. But if you're going to get involved and you think it's going to be something you're going to get rich quick with, or if you get loser, you're going to chase your money and bet money you shouldn't bet. You know, gambling, sports betting, any kind of gambling can destroy your life. I mean, it can be just as addictive as drugs or alcohol or anything else. And again, that's one of the reasons I wrote the book. When I was a younger man, I had those issues. And luckily, I was able to overcome those. Most people don't. And so I think sports betting is fine. But I think you need to understand the chances you're winning are very, very, very small. And again, the book I wrote, I put a bunch of basic things in there. If you follow those, you got a much, much better chance of winning. But I still don't think you'll probably win. You'll just lose less. But it's a lot of fun. And if you approach it that way, I think it's great. But, Paul, in order to win betting sports and land 11 to 10, you have to win 52.38% of the games you bet on. I win 58% is what I win. But again, I spend millions of dollars a year in research and development and doing this, and the average person is not going to be able to do that.
So I'm not asking you to pick games, but I'm curious about something. On this program, as you probably can imagine, Alabama-Michigan game is paramount. And right now, I believe Michigan won 1.5-point favorite. There are a lot of variables that go in. Conventional wisdom is Alabama ought to win, but they're still the underdog. Can you explain that to us? Because none of us ever seem to understand why a team is a favorite and why a team is the underdog.
Well, bottom line is, every team has a power rating, and as the year goes forward, you grade each week's results. The most current weeks are the most important ones. As example, game 1-2 of the season, by this time of the year, has almost no importance. The most recent games, they do have the most importance, and of course, the strength of schedule and who they're playing, and when they played those games, what players were in, what players were out, who actually participated, they did play injured, and there's all kinds of other factors, Paul, which I know you're aware of. I mean, travel time, travel surfaces, matchups, all those type things. And you're right, everyone's got an opinion. A lot of guys, they come on programs such as your program, and you know, they almost sound like a politician to me. When they're done, they'll tell you why both sides can win, and then and anyway, it's okay. It's fun. It's entertaining. I'm not criticizing them for the way they do it, but actually, you know, I have a power rating on all these teams, and if you're asking me, you know, the four they're in, they're not the four that I have the highest power rating on.
So we mentioned the. This has been the controversy of the year in sports. So I would be very interested in your power rating, because you're not doing this to please anyone. You're doing it to win money. So how would you rank the top four schools in college football?
Well, I mean, you know, and they're so close, but I think it's probably Michigan, Georgia, Alabama, and probably Texas. So that'd be my four. You know, I mean, again, how Georgia got left out of this. I mean, they lose one ball game in 2 years and they lose them by 3 points. You know, again, that's not what I do. I'm not on that involved in that side of it, but I know the teams I like to bet on, and I like to bet on Georgia, Alabama, for sure. And Texas, to beat Washington. I can assure you that.
So I saw something a minute ago. It was on ESPN. It said Alabama has covered. Now, I don't know why this stuff matters, but it seems to. Alabama has covered in 77 straight games against non-SEC opponents. Saban's 18-12 against the spread as an underdog, including 7-3-1 against the spread at Alabama. He's 6-2 outright in those games. Meanwhile, Michigan is 0-6 against the spread in its last six games. Does that stuff matter?
Yeah, well, it's the strength of schedule. I mean, the bottom line is, I mean, I think we all know as a whole, the SEC conference is by far the strongest conference. So, you know, are you talking about bowl games, fall?
Well, yeah, what I'm talking about, this is the Alabama number is just all-inclusive. The Michigan number, 0-6 ATS, mm-hmm. is in the last six bowl games. They have not covered one of them.
Right, yeah. And I'm aware of that. I think this is... I think this is an awfully good Michigan ball club. You know, I mean, I think McCarthy's probably been playing a little bit hurt the last 30 days, and I think that's probably one of the reasons they've been as conservative as they have, although I don't know. But anyway, it's going to be a good ball game. That's what makes gambling good. And I understand what you're saying, but, you know, Alabama's got a ways to travel. I think on that surface, I don't think they're going to be quite as fast as they are at home, and I think that neutralizes them a little bit. I think they're overall a much quicker team than Michigan, but I think once they get to the Rose Bowl, I think that neutralizes that to a certain degree. Again, I mean, the line is what the line is, and I don't disagree with the line, to be frank with you. I think Michigan should be the favorite in the game. I understand what you're talking about the past few years, and that does have some relevance, but again, it's a different Michigan ball club, and it's different Alabama ball club.
So hey, my favorite story, Billy. I used to work at a sports station in Birmingham, as you probably know, and they had some tout that paid to come on. And I told your friend Danny Sheridan the story once, and he so the guy on the morning show, I let's say it was the Alabama-Tennessee game. The guy on the morning show, you know, picked Alabama. Let's say it was a pick'em game. He picked Alabama. On the evening show on mine, I'm interviewing him, and he goes, "I like Tennessee in the game." I said, "Hold on a second." I said, I mean, fully realizing we're paying this guy, he's paying us. You know the deal. He's paying us a lot of money. I said, "I heard you this morning pick Alabama. Now you're picking Tennessee." And he said, "Well, I don't know what you heard." I said, "I know what I heard." And we finally said, "I don't care what this guy's paying us. I don't ever want him on again." But that's why there are so many people that lose money in this business, as you well know.
Well, I've never sold my picks to anyone, and I'm not interested in selling picks now. I like you. I respect you a lot. And, you know, you and I are having a conversation here, and I would either answer it. Say I don't want to answer it, but if I'm going to answer it, I'm going to be honest about it. And my opinion is my opinion, of course. It is what it is, and no one's paying me for it. I'm here out of respect to you.
Is there something else, like, as people get ready to bet, it seems to me that how much does it matter, Billy, whether a team really wants to be there or not? Because you see, it seems like underdogs win a lot of these bowl games.
Well, they kind of do, especially the early bowl games, because what happens is, you're right, a lot of those people, they're not coming to play. You get later on in the bowl games where, you know, people want to win those games. The better teams usually win, the bigger games. I mean, that's what it really boils down to. But you get in a lot of these bowl games, and bowl games, even the ones that were meaningless before, they're even more meaningless today because, my God, you don't even know who's going to show up, who's going to play. And then I'm a very strong believer, if they don't do something about the bowl games in regards to when these kids sign these scholarships that they're committed to play or whatever, I don't know what they're going to do about the bowl games that aren't involved in the playoffs, because, you know, everybody looks at this a little bit differently. But if I played football with a kid for 2 or 3 years, and we were teammates, I can't imagine me sitting out the last game because, you know, I mean, you could get hurt in any football game. I mean, there's insurance you can always take out, things such as that. But as far as bowls are concerned and fans, I mean, it's pretty difficult when the best players aren't going to show up and they're not going to play. I sure hope they can come up with something to fix that. So you're right. Early on in these bowls, there's so many teams that show up. They don't care. They're just showing up. And you'll see lines on these games, and you'll scratch your head. I mean, you know, I think Missouri's playing Ohio State, I think. And Ohio State's a big dog in the game. I mean, they're a big underdog. I mean, it's not the Ohio State team that played during the regular season. So, and the average fan sees that, and, you know, they have pretty difficult times grasping that. But you're right, Paul. You know, when you've got issues with morale of the team, you can throw everything out the window. None of the rest of it counts. It doesn't mean anything.
Billy Walters, name of the book, Gambler: Secrets from a Life at Risk. Fascinating book, New York Times bestseller. Billy, always great to see you. Thanks so much for making time.
Paul, thank you for having me. Happy holidays to you.
Same to you. Great to have you on. The great Billy Walters joining us. Kind of have to read between the lines, but I was taking notes during that interview. We'll take a short break. We are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Welcome back. We just talked to a legend of the gambling world. Now we talk to a legend of every other world, especially this show. Legend is next.
What's going on, my black hat, brother? How you feeling, baby?
I've out told Billy he had to wait for your call, but he couldn't wait. I bet he would like heard your gambling tips.
I'm going to give you a gambling tip, Paul. Danny Sheridan is probably in the same conversation as Billy there. And he's taught me so much over the years. He taught me so much, Paul. I quit gambling this year.
That's funny.
If I ever gamble again, I'll be the house, Paul. And if Alabama ever get out their ass and come into the 21st century and legalize gambling, I'll have a house, Paul. I'll have a house, baby. Hey, Paul, I know you're up against a hard break probably. But I just want to tell you how proud I was of you the other day for telling all them folks you don't give a damn what they say no more. You showed that you're a true black hat brother right there, baby. I said right then, that's a dadgum black hat brother right there. I love you, dude. That's what it's all about. Because I'm going to tell you something, Paul Feinbaum. You're a frigging king, dude. It don't matter what anybody says about you in the South. You are a friggin' made man, brother. You are a made man. Little children love you. Mama love you. Grandmama love you. Granddaddy love you. Folks going to the hospital having a heart attack love you, dude. Folks probably got a picture of you in their grave. You're a friggin' king, dude. That's what being a black hat brother's all about. Let me black hat something else right now. AJ, keep the black hat mafia out of your damn mouth. You ain't no black hatter. You a little weasel eagle with about two hairs on top of your head. Talking about the fan bomb, talking about the Alabama nation, the Alabama fan base. Let me tell you something, brother. From the wound to the tomb, I've been crimson and white, brother. From the time I was born to the time I leave this place, I'll be crimson and white. And keep your little blue and orange buttermouth out of the Alabama fan base. I'm more intelligent, more brilliant than any people I've ever met in my damn life. We are college football, AJ. Shut your little eagle mouth up before I get mad and come on here and radio pimp slap your ass. Now, Pa, I love you, dude. You're a black hat. I love what you did last week. Keep it in your heart, brother. It don't matter what anybody says about you. You are a damn king, brother, and that comes from the legend. From the wound to the tomb, brother, me and you, black hat forever. Legend has left the bill.
Thank you, legend. Thank you very, very much. I-Man is up next.
Well, that was a lot about nothing. But it was interesting, I will say that. I mean, he does have that little pentameter thing kind of going on. I mean, It's entertaining, to a point, I guess. You got a black hat on, Paul?
I don't have a black hat. I have one right here by the desk.
I know you do. Put it on, Paul. Put it on. Be proud. Be proud. Remember, from the womb to the tomb, you got to remember that. Keep them out of your mouth. Keep them out of your mouth. Just buy them damn T-shirts. Be taxed by the University of Alabama, the most taxed fan base there is on the face of this earth. Taxed. Buying them T-shirts. Gotta love it. Buying them catcher's gloves, them knee pads, them hats and visors, them little banners. And don't forget your autographed 8x10 glossy of little Nicholas, the little fella. You know, Paul, sometimes I was listening to your guest there, and he wrote a book, and that was real interesting. I think I'm going to write a book, too. You know, my life was kind of haphazard up until I was about 17 or 18 to start taking control of things in my life. And you know, it kind of turned around about that point. And So the first part of my book, you know, from Hard Day's Night, they had a book too. And, but the first part of my book is going to be about maybe getting 17. But on chapter 4, page 20, remember this, 420. Just remember that. Go straight to chapter 4, page 20. It's going to turn exciting. And it ain't got a damn thing to do with no black hats and no womb from the tomb and keeping it out of your mouth. I mean, it ain't going to have a thing about the little fella in Tuscaloosa. It's, you know what my book's going to be about, Paul?
What's that?
It's going to be about me. Me. Can you get it? Can you dig it? Can you handle it? It's going to be about me. You know, Paul, I was born and raised on a farm down in Alabama, way back up in the... Oh, I'm sorry, that book's already been written. That's Clarence Carter's song. Patches, patches, patches. But, no, I'm going to take it to a new level. I'm going to write a book about me. And then, Paul, remember this. I know y'all talking and talking about Florida State and the whining and the crying they're doing. But remember this, Paul. Please do this. Remember, Florida State fans' lives matter. Have a good day.
We're back. 30 minutes remaining here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And what an afternoon this has been. If you're just getting on board, we started it with Jaden Daniels, the Heisman winner, at the very top of the show. And we wrap it up with AJ from Pell City.
Oh, hell no to the no. You going to let that fish-eyed fool call in here talking all that? Legend. I'm going to tell you something what legend is. He's still mad, Paul, because he ain't on that damn page 54 in that book you wrote. It's eating him up. It's been eating him up for years. He's still been crying. I've been seeing his tweets over there. He cries about a squirrel getting on set over there, stealing some thunder. It's eating him up. His just like the dynasty, it's dying out. And the bottom line is he knows he bet all year long against and lost his butt. But all they did is what he did win is he won a token of you wouldn't be here if Auburn wouldn't have dropped a punt, legend. You on a whim right now. You got lucky. Your ass is coming off the throne. Y'all know it's coming. The freeze warning's coming out. And you know what? Elvis wrote a song about you. You ain't nothing but a damn hound dog. War damn eagle.
Is it my imagination, or does his calls get worse every night? Charlemagne is up next. Hello. Charmaine, how are you?
Hey, hi, I'm great. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to talk to you, Paul.
Thank you, Charmaine.
I was listening to you guys earlier, you and Rick Carly, and I just got the courage to call in because I was a freshman at the University of Alabama. My dad was in the military. So from the age of 5 to 15, I was overseas. And you and Rick Carly were like my introduction to the Alabama-Auburn rivalry. Oh, wow. I knew absolutely nothing about Alabama at that time when I ended up going to school. And you guys, just hearing you guys every day was what really helped me to fall in love with the culture of Alabama, as well as my freshman year, I had the opportunity to work in Bryant Hall. And so you guys were like my education. And I only recognized the players that I used to bus tables, you know, when they had like lunch and breakfast, lunch and dinner, I would bus tables. But you guys were my education, because I had no idea who these people were. I was just trying to, get a little extra money and a meal. But I'm so happy to hear you guys talking today. It just really took me back to being a 17-year-old freshman at Alabama.
Well, Charmaine, that's so special. And we had a long run on local TV, and it was at a time when local TV probably mattered more than it does today with all the different things that we have access to. But I really appreciate you saying that. Where were you? Where was your dad stationed as you were growing up?
Croughton Air Force Base. There were two bases really close together in England, Upper Heyford Air Force Base,
right,
and then Croughton. And they actually filmed a James Bond movie at Upper Heyford.
Oh, did they
years
really?
Ago. I can't tell you which one, because that was 100 years ago. Okay. But yeah, we moved back stateside when I was going on 16, and then I was in college at 17. And so I've always listened to you. You are a great advocate for our sport. Thank you for standing up for not just Alabama, but just for what's best for the culture and what's best for the sport. I really appreciate you. And thank you. I was going to say, I changed my major to journalism my sophomore year after watching you as well.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm afraid to ask, what did you do with it?
Absolutely nothing. I do write.
Most people don't.
I do write, but I love hearing you, and thank you for this opportunity to speak with you.
Well, it was my pleasure. Charmaine, you be well. Thanks so much. I really enjoyed that. Mac in Colorado is up next.
Hey, roll coach Tide Bomb, Fine Bomb. How are
hey
you,
there.
Sir?
We are doing great.
I'm also going to say roll Thin Red Line or Crimson White. Hey, that attorney general's got no leg to stand on. You got to be kidding me. I'm going to give them an ultimatum to put their deal down on January 11th. Isn't everything over by the 11th?
Yeah. It would be one thing if she was going to federal court to file an injunction for maybe trying to stop it. I might take that seriously, but this was like throwing a paper airplane at the Supreme Court.
She's just trying to get everybody fired by June of 2025, right?
Well, it shows you what a craven politician she is by starting out with, oh, hey, I'm a Florida fan, but I feel your pain. I mean, that immediately tells you this is not serious.
So, you know, we have Roger Goodell buying Belichick $500,000 and the Patriots fought $250,000 for, their Spygate.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, I mean, Michigan really got off with a slap on their hand.
You know, I thought Billy Walters made the best point. I mean, there's a federal investigation allegedly going on about the CFP, and meanwhile, Michigan is the number one team in the country, and nobody's saying a word about that.
Coach Feinbaum, I want to tell you, you did an interview this afternoon with Mr. Carey. I apologize, I don't know his name.
Yeah, Rick Carly.
But that Carly, pardon me. That was the best interview I've seen all year. You and him and the information that you guys have let us in on and be privy to is amazing. I mean, I could sit and listen to you guys, let alone all the people that you've discussed stuff with, Coach Nick Saban and anybody.
No, I had forgotten some of that. We worked together for such a long time, and really it was a blast. I'll tell you one story I didn't get in. So we were at the Fox affiliate Mac. Nice. And so in the football season, we had to come on after the World Series or maybe the playoffs. And I think the Yankees and the Red Sox, they had a rain delay of about 3 hours. And then they had a 14-inning game. It did not end literally until 2:30 in the morning, and we had to wait. We came on, I think, at 2:45 or 3 o'clock in the morning to do a sports show. And at the end of the show, I'll never forget this, I had the last comment. I said, well, that's the show for tonight. And you always say, like, what the next show is. I said, Joel Osteen is next. And that was the end of the it was.
God bless you.
Thank you. Yeah, we didn't miss it by much. Hey, thanks so much. We'll take a short break, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.